Duncan McLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast. I'm joined now by Clayton Haywood, and he is CEO of a fintech platform provider called Ukeshe. Ukeshe has just announced it is buying a company called Altio from MasterCard. Now, MasterCard bought Altio from Standard Bank just 2 years ago, so this company is making the rounds, if I can put it that way. Clayton, I believe you're sitting in a restaurant somewhere in northern Johannesburg at the moment to talk to me. I'm currently sitting in a construction site where there's some walls being built, so I think between the two of us there may be a bit of background noise during this podcast, so please forgive us for that. But Clayton, welcome to Tech Central, and thanks for making the time today.
Yeah, thanks very much for the invite.
So tell me a bit about Ukeshe. I've heard the name mentioned often, actually, over the last couple of years. What is it you guys do, and where do you fit into the market exactly?
It's an interesting story. We actually started as a software development firm back in 2013, writing platforms for the banks and the telcos.
Okay.
Then we set up our B2C digital banking operation about 2 years ago, and that taught us a hell of a lot about building fintech propositions. We went through all the pains around regulatory compliance, building tech that scales, integrating with banks, integrating with the card associations, and very quickly realized that our opportunity in the market was to really help the banks and the telcos and the fintechs build these very complex digital-first financial services propositions. And at the end of last year, we decided to pivot our business away from the consumer focus and wholeheartedly focus around B2B enablement of fintech propositions, which brought us a lot closer to MasterCard, which has been a strategic partner of ours, which then, we entered their Start Path competition, which was their global accelerator. Out of that, we started meeting a lot more people inside of the MasterCard ecosystem, and then started having the interesting discussions around whether it made sense for Altio to sit inside a MasterCard or maybe sitting inside of a fintech that is very closely aligned to MasterCard. It may actually be able to achieve everything that it was set out to do in the beginning.
Understood. Okay, so what are the origins of Ukeshe? Who started the company, and what was its founding mission?
So, interestingly enough, I mean, myself and my four partners started the business to be a competitor to FNB eWallet, because banked with Investec, and we had no ability to pay informal staff. And so that was really the foundation of it. And we said, well, let's build this proposition to allow people to get paid a lot easier. And that was, when we started, the proposition was to build something for consumers. After 2 years of, we really realized that our strength was building the technology rather than operating a competitive proposition against the banks and against the telcos.
Right.
And now we're sitting in a situation where we have all the telcos as clients and all the banks as clients. And it's a far less conflicting situation to be in.
Interesting. Okay, so you're more of a platform technology provider to other companies now, whereas in the early days you were looking to build your own fintech that would interface directly with consumers.
100%, yeah. So now we work with the banks closely and we work with the telcos closely to enable their consumer-facing propositions rather than being in the market ourselves as a brand.
Understood. All right. Okay. So what happened? What has happened to the clients you did sign up in those early days? Have you transferred those to one of the big banks?
You would have seen recently Telkom launched a proposition called Telkom Pay.
Yes.
About 2 weeks ago. So essentially all of our clients were migrated to the Telkom Pay proposition.
Interesting. Telkom Pay is the WhatsApp-based payment wallet, is it?
Yes, yeah.
Yes, okay. So did you build that for them?
We did, yeah. We built that end-to-end for them.
Interesting, okay. That must be one of the first WhatsApp-based banking financial services products in the country, if I'm not mistaken.
It is. Okay. Yeah, no, it definitely is. And I think, they're going to show the market a whole lot of interesting dynamics now, embracing this new technology.
Interesting. So, you were intimately involved in that project. We've seen, so it's actually been quite an interesting year, hasn't it, Clayton, for the fintech space here in South Africa.
Hugely,
it's been pretty exciting for the crypto guys as well, I think, due to the price of Bitcoin at the moment. But for fintech players, there's kind of been a lot happening, and the telcos are making a lot more noise. Telkom Pay, for example, you've just mentioned, but some of the other telcos have been talking about launching projects of their own, and obviously in the rest of Africa, M-Pesa and fintech players like that have continued to do exceptionally well. Where do you see this market going in the coming time? I know you're working with some of the banks and helping them to develop platforms like this, but how do you see the competitive landscape emerging, particularly, I think, in that lower end of the market in the coming years?
That lower end of the market is very challenging, and I think everybody's always had this view of we want to bank the unbanked. But I think what they don't understand is the unbanked don't want to be banked. So it's a big, everybody talks about financial inclusion and it's this drive to the bottom of the pyramid. But having been there myself and built propositions in that space, it's very hard. So you need to find niches in the market where you can deliver value to that specific niche. And the only way we're going to create financial inclusion is to increase entrepreneurship. So I think COVID has definitely done that in South Africa. We've seen lots of people out there setting up side hustles, extra businesses, and you'll see new propositions coming into the market that we're launching with some of the banks shortly, really enabling those small micro businesses to invoice people, to get paid, to access loans, etc. And to me, those are where the opportunities lie. It's about finding niche communities and niche propositions. Because there isn't a one-size-fits-all. Banking is not just a bank account. You need to really deliver value to the end user, and they need to see that value and touch that value every day. So that's what we try and do with our partners, is in terms of find that niche that they can focus on and build a proposition for them to enable that.
Mm. Do you see non-banks like retailers, like telecommunications operators, becoming significant players in the financial services space in the coming years? And if so, what does that mean for the traditional players? And what does it mean for the dynamics of the market as well?
Yeah, what I've always said, that South Africa is a very mature financial services market. You can't compare it to Kenya and M-Pesa. You've got Capitec and the FNBs and the guys that have really got powerful propositions for the low end of the market. So to go in and do a head-to-head battle with them, you're never going to succeed. Mm. So I do think where the retailers and the telcos can do well is in the areas of cross-border remittance, servicing the foreign nationals, which are generally underserved by the major banks. And again, getting back to that point I mentioned, find the niches, because in core banking, you're never going to beat the incumbents. They've been in this game. They've dominated the market. They've got a platform that really works. So you can't come into this market with a second-rate financial services proposition and think you're going to compete with it.
Yeah, interesting. So how do you see the market shaping up? I mean, who are going to be the big winners down the line? Is it going to be a particular sector, or is there going to be space for everybody?
One thing I've learned is that this market is very big. It's a big, big market. Just look at MTN have attracted 2 million clients. Time Bank have attracted 2 million clients. Capitec have attracted 14 million clients, and there's 67 million cards in circulation in South Africa. So I think the market will continue to grow. I do think they're going to be winners. I think we're going to see Capitec growing stronger and stronger. I think Vodacom's relationship with Alipay could bear fruit. I mean, it is the gorilla in the room in terms of, but it's about whether the proposition gets taken up. Nedbank's Avo proposition is starting to show legs. So, I think the market's big, and I think it's big enough that everybody can have a piece of the pie. I don't think there's going to be any outright dominant winner. Mm. I think what we are seeing, though, in the banking space is Capitec is growing, and I think their business proposition is going to get better and better. Nedbank is one of our key strategic partners. Is definitely showing a drive to get more and more digital propositions out there and drive propositions to the lower end of the market. So, it's going to be interesting. I think Telkom's coming into the market late. They do have the benefit that they have over 500,000 small businesses on their books with Yellow Pages. in terms of their old Trudon business. So that gives them a powerful play in terms of targeting those clients with an SMME banking proposition, which I think they have a head start against the other telcos.
Interesting. Now, you're acquiring this company called Altio, which MasterCard bought 2 years ago and is now selling. Why did MasterCard change its mind? Why did it buy this company and then decide it's going to sell it to you? And just correct me if I'm wrong here, but is Altio the company that developed what became MasterPass?
Correct. Yeah. So Altio is MasterPass in South Africa.
Uh-huh.
So it's the QR payment switch in the South African market. So we service the banks and we service the telcos, and we have interoperability with SnapScan and other QR players. And I think what's happened is that when MasterCard seeded the market in terms of really going out aggressively and saying, well, we'll buy Altio and we'll get the banks on board and we'll drive the QR interoperability in the market. It made a lot of sense. And if you look at the history over the last 2.5 years, they've really QR has really taken off. We've got, 300,000 active merchants. We've got several million transactions going through. But I do think it needs to sit in an independent organization for it to really get to a point that we can service other payment methods, the wallet-to-wallet payment transfers, and get the interoperability really working between all the providers. There have been, as you've seen in the press over the last few months, some disagreements between the other QR players in the market. And we hope to, through this process, bring everybody back into the fold and carve out a proposition where we can really sit as a truly independent enabler for QR in South Africa across all payment types and across all banks and all providers.
So how does it fit into your business? What was the rationale for doing this deal?
So the biggest attraction for us is obviously we bring across close to 20 very strong technical people who have been in the payments industry for 15 plus years. We bring across formal billing relationships with every single bank and every single telco. And we bring across a core payment switch capability with integration into all the acquiring banks. And that alone, outside of the fact that we are the QR switch, becomes a very valuable asset in terms of us now being able to take our broader propositions into these clients and say, well, there's a lot more than just QR that we can do for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting stuff. Now, you're a part of something called the MasterCard Accelerator, or Accelerate Program, rather. What exactly is that, Clayton?
So MasterCard have quite a powerful program which they choose about, I think it's about 16 companies a year out of, I think, 4,000 applicants, where they really integrate you into the organization in terms of saying, well, how can they assist us scale our business at a national level? They introduce us to their international markets, they expose us to all their different technologies, and they help us integrate those technologies with our existing propositions. So what that's allowed us to do is, number one, we've added card issuing to our portfolio together with Nedbank, so we can offer prepaid card programs in this market. We've launched the same programs across Africa with several other banks, like EcoBank and KCB, etc. Banks Gaborone as well. So all of a sudden, it's just opened this entire market for us that we wouldn't have been able to address unless we were part of this MasterCard Accelerator program. And it's really helped us grow our business at least tenfold during a COVID year, which is phenomenal for us.
Mm. Interesting. Now, you're also expanding in Africa. I know you've just pointed at someone to head up your non-South African Africa-focused team. Do you see opportunities to expand in other markets through MasterCard's, your relationship with MasterCard? What is your feeling around offshore expansion, and which markets have got you particularly excited?
Yeah, well, we've just actually set up office in Dubai, and we're also setting up office in Singapore early in the new year. So Southeast Asia, Middle East, South America is definitely a target for us. But I think, given some of the language barriers there, we try and look for an acquisition, so similar to maybe like an Altio type acquisition that we can look for in that market. but it's definitely going to be emerging markets, South America, Southeast Asia, Africa, obviously. And then, you know, there are some opportunities popping up in Europe. We do have a one of our strategic executives is now based in Austria. So we're definitely going to look at leveraging the MasterCard relationship in Europe and see what else we can do in that market.
Okay, so it's not emerging markets only, and it's not only unbanked individuals that you're targeting through this platform.
No, so that's what's great about payments. I mean, payments is whether you're an Apple user or whether you're a guy with a feature phone in a field in Kenya, you all want to do payments. So, you know, I think that's what's exciting for us. You know, I think with what we've got is we can be operating in New York tomorrow, or we can be in a rice paddy in Indonesia.
Sure. And the business so far, has it been self-funded? Have you gone through venture capital rounds?
We've done two seed rounds. So we did a seed round in the early days with the Ocean 76 group, Prince Maklanga, who's one of an ex-Vodacom executive. He's recently been appointed to the Liberty board. Really strong exec with lots of connections into the telco industry. And then Chris Lister James heads up a business called Fitech Ventures. And he's been an investor with me in several of my projects over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so he's been a key investor. And then Nedbank came to the party with debt funding on the Altio transaction. So we managed to fund at least 75% of the transaction with debt, which allows us not to dilute too much. And it's always attractive to, you know, from a founding point of view. But we'll definitely next year, I think we'll do a big Series A round, maybe towards the middle of next year.
Okay. And you'd do that in the South African market, or would you look internationally for funding?
We'd look at both, but I think we're more likely to get international funding. Nice. You know, the VC markets in South Africa aren't really VC. So, you know, you're going to raise $10 million for a fintech business in the international markets is the same as raising 5 million rand in South Africa.
True, true that. And Clayton, what is your background before I let you go? How did you get into this space? Have you always been in the financial services space, or in the technology space, or a bit mix of the two? Or did you do something completely different before you started Ukeshe? No.
I studied mechanical engineering. Right. And then I started my first software company when I left university. And I think Ukeshe is now my 25th startup.
Good grief. Okay.
Yeah.
You're one of those serial entrepreneurs, as they describe it.
Yeah. No, so I've done a lot of tech businesses. So listed a few businesses, sold a few businesses, failed in several businesses.
Yeah.
So, you know, keep on trying.
Well, it's the failures where you learn the most, right?
Exactly.
Great. Excellent. Well, best of luck with Ukeshe. How long has it been going now? A couple of years.
So the business of the group has been going for 7 years now. Ukeshe as a proposition has been going for 2.5 years.
2.5 years. Okay. Great. Well, Clayton Howard is Haywood, I beg your pardon. Clayton Haywood is CEO of Ukeshe. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to Tech Central today and sharing your insights on this business and this market and where it's going.
Thank you very much. Look forward to another chat.